On today's episode, we've got a new administration in the White House, so we're going to be talking all about what President Trump's executive orders could mean for the sign industry, potential personnel shifts industry leaders could and maybe even should expect, and what Trump's proposed tariffs could mean for both sign suppliers and buyers. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Innovation Room podcast. I'm your host, Tori, here with my co-host, Jonathan. And today we are digging into how the current administration's policies could impact the sign industry. And first, we just want to note that we understand that this topic is a little bit charged. And so we want to be clear that what we're going to be talking about today is strictly just to touch on how the new administration's policies might impact the signage industry. So I want to start with the 35 executive orders that President Trump signed in his first week in office. And they don't all affect the signage industry, but some do. And so we're going to tackle a couple of those. And something we've talked about on the podcast quite a bit before is artificial intelligence, right? It's the hottest topic. Everybody's talking about it. And President Trump is no exception. That's been, it was a part of his campaign. And so one of the first executive orders that he signed is called Removing Barriers to American Leadership in Artificial Intelligence. And so, Jonathan, can you tell us a little bit about what this executive order is all about?
Yeah, so it's kind of pushing for, American dominance in AI innovation. It's calling for directors and offices to establish a plan and to, quote, to promote human flourishing, economic competitiveness, and national security. So it's really like trying to showcase the U.S. as one of the AI leaders so we don't end up, behind China.
Yeah. American dominance is probably the best way to categorize or define what the purpose of the order is. And obviously, we all know, as we've seen over the last couple of years, AI is changing at an unprecedented rate. Like constantly, even the stuff we talk about today may not even apply tomorrow.
Especially with the release of the DeepSeek that everybody's talking about now, that came out of China, that essentially they're claiming that they made it for pennies on the dollar for what was made by other companies. So it's really changing so dramatically, so quickly.
And it's interesting. There was a tweet from Sam Altman. And for those who don't know who he is, he's the CEO of OpenAI. And in January, he tweeted that he thought that we've basically reached the singularity. Okay. And this is super nerdy. It feels like it's straight out of a sci-fi novel. But he tweeted and said, quote, near the singularity, unclear which side. Okay. Right. So if you don't know what the singularity is, it's basically when AI capability surpasses human intelligence. So I don't follow Sam Altman like super, super closely, but he's definitely at least has some
knowledgeable
expertise. Right. Yeah.
Right.
If he's
running
OpenAI and what all the kind of ramifications or consequences would be if we are at that point remains to be seen. There are some people who argue that AI is a matter of scaling and that we need the computing power basically, but we've got the basics of it. We just need the power now. So it's an interesting thing to watch.
And it is interesting. And there's so many different ways it could go. I think we've watched so many movies that can show all the different outcomes of what could potentially happen. And honestly, a lot of it doesn't seem as far-fetched as it did 20 years ago, 15 years ago, things like that. Really, the idea is the impact that it's going to have on companies that might be in the sign industry or might be using it. Keeping that innovation in the United States obviously is a good thing because then our companies are going to have more money to expand. They can build more buildings, have more people, and then that's always going to benefit us.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing too, right? AI innovation is going to happen, whether it happens here or somewhere else. In this sense, if this executive order leads to its intended purpose, than it will be to the benefit of American businesses. And I think one place where we can really see AI have a huge impact on the industry is just in predictive maintenance, right?
Right.
As a company, we have our hand in the facility maintenance space. And so we're already seeing the ways that AI is impacting not just preventative maintenance, but predictive maintenance. So we're going to see AI be able to synthesize, right, all this information and create actionable insights, right? Relative to signage specifically, let's say that you've got locations in hurricane territories. I'm down in Texas. We get hit with hurricanes sometimes. If you've got 10 locations down here, you're going to want something that can analyze weather events, that can analyze energy sources in the electrical grid and give you information and help you prepare, right? Maybe it's going to submit work orders ahead of time for people to come out after a storm, or even to have a sign company come out and reinforce your signage before a weather event. So there's a lot of ramifications for how AI can positively impact the predictive maintenance space.
Well, I think that's the thing right there is like how it, because with the extreme just capabilities that it has, like I'm just trying to think of, or I'm thinking of different weather events, like how much rain can paint sustain? When do you need to start worrying about rust? What's the humidity in the air? There's so many different things that come about it. One of the biggest things that I think isn't noticed until people notice it, which this is AI can prevent this, is we have a customer that is based, headquartered out of Arizona. And when they build new buildings, they have full window vinyls that they put on their buildings. And they know that if it's pointing, I can't remember which direction, but I believe it's east. If the windows are pointing east, those vinyls need to be replaced in 2 years, right? They'll turn black. For just because of how intense and hot the sun gets, and AI can easily, you know, you can plot where your buildings are and it can easily tell you like, hey, this is starting to fade because it's had X percent of UV exposure because it hasn't had cloudy days, and it can pinpoint everything down to the most narrow. So you don't have to worry about your vinyl getting too faded. And then it's only when a store manager, or not even a store manager, because over time you get used to that, oh, it's faded, it's fading just little bits by little bits until it gets really bad, you don't really notice it. But somebody that doesn't see it every day, they're gonna say, oh, they don't care about their graphics, right? Because look how faded that is. And AI can help prevent that. Hey, you're planning on changing it in 6 months anyway, change it now. And it can utilize that, and not only just a vinyl capacity, but it can do it for everything, right? Like, hey, your LEDs have been running at this much power for this long. They're due to be replaced in 3 months. You're going to be fixing this anyway. Why don't you fix it now? So there's tons of benefits that AI can have, especially in the maintenance portion.
Yeah, 100%. The other component of this that it ties into the next executive order that we want to talk about, but I mentioned before, there are some AI experts out there that say AI is a matter of scaling, right? It's going to require really a tremendous amount of energy to power artificial intelligence capabilities. And so the other important component about AI innovation happening here in America is that we have to have the energy infrastructure in order to power it. So if you want AI to be able to have the capability to analyze your entire sign program and help you with predictive maintenance, right? And for AI to be able to impact industries in all the ways that we anticipate it will be able to, you got to have energy in order to do that. So that's where the next executive order, it's called Unleashing American Energy. That's where this one comes into play. And President Trump did sign 3 executive orders that are specifically related to energy, but this one kind of speaks to energy needs the most broadly. And by the way, everybody, we're going to include links to these executive orders that we're talking about in today's show notes, so you can take a look, read them for yourself at those links. Basically, Unleashing American Energy, this one is, the idea here is to reduce regulation on the energy industry. And it wants to promote more use of resources on federal land. So analyzing energy consumption right now, what can we do to deregulate it to make it cheaper?
Right. Well, yeah. And I think with this having such broad implications, we're just talking about if this were to happen, none of the side effects per se, right? You know, that could be perceived of happening because, yeah, the more energy we have, the cheaper it's going to be for everybody, the more signage you can have, the brighter you can light your letters. Mm-hmm. And then on top of it, the cheaper the energy, the more powerful AI you can run. So it's like you stack things on top of each other to mm-hmm. try and make yourself as efficient and cost effective as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. The executive order also calls for a plan to establish what's called an interstate energy transportation or what's called interstate energy transportation, an infrastructure that also
right.
helps transport energy, which ideally makes energy cheaper. So, right. you know, all these executive orders are all like Jonathan was saying, are contingent upon whether or not they actually work. But in an ideal world, if they are effective, this is what it leads to. So sign manufacturers are going to see lower energy costs for themselves. Ideally, the goods that and the where you're sourcing your materials from, all that stuff gets cheaper too, because their energy costs are lower. So again, in an ideal world,
right?
This well, and you know, makes everything the hope less is, expensive,
right? Yeah, and then it really depends on scale, right? Like how much is mm-hmm. the scale, and how much is it going to make it cheaper? Because if we only save $5 a month on our energy bill, that's not really a savings that we can pass on too well right. by the time it gets through everything. So yeah, a lot of it turns into we need to see what happens and how it is affected. But yeah, ideally, it should be better the cheaper things get.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, the third executive order that we want to touch on is called the America First Trade Policy. This one is aimed at creating trade and economic policies that prioritize American citizens and businesses. I'm sure everyone has heard President Trump, whether it was during the campaign or once he was established in office, talking about tariffs. Right. This was something for me that was, I didn't know a lot about them before hearing him discuss them. And so it seems like a lot of the conversation around it is very much kind of, nothing is set in stone, right? All this stuff would need to be, there's a little bit more than signing your name on the dotted line to make stuff like this happen. But I know originally in our show notes, y'all, we had included that President Trump had floated the idea of a 60% tariff on Chinese goods. I don't even think that's not even the conversation at this point. That's how quickly the conversation around this is changing. So Jonathan, do you have more updated information?
Yeah, like as of yesterday, it seems like the China tariffs has taken a back seat, and then it just got delayed 30 days, the 25% tariff on Mexico and Canadian goods. So ideally, yeah, tariffs are complex, and it really depends on where you're getting things from to manufacture signs or where you're having your signs manufactured. Like China is a huge player in the LED market. I couldn't even venture a guess of how much, but it's got to be a very high percentage of LEDs that are made in China. Mm-hmm. So we don't have the capabilities to make them as quickly and as efficiently here. So if that were to take effect, it could increase those prices. But depending on where you source from, there are a lot of people that do source their channel letter sets and different signage from China, and so this would be a huge impact on the sign industry, especially mm-hmm. for we're local, we have our own sign manufacturing here in South Bend, and I'm not sure how much we might import products that we use, but it would really change the game if there were tariffs specifically around our industry, if it increased it by 60%, because then that would now all of a sudden the extremely cheap prices you're getting out of China for manufacturing, those would no longer exist. And hopefully smaller companies like ours that manufacture here in the U.S. would be able to benefit from that. But again, like you said, it's changing so fast. I haven't heard about Chinese tariffs in a month now, and it's really going to be what are we going to see next?
Yeah. And the Lord only knows, I think, is right, what yeah. we have to say to that. But it seems like the intent of the tariffs is to bring manufacturing back to America.
Right.
So it's probably not a bad idea for sign companies to look, at least investigate American manufacturers for your different materials. It might be a little bit more expensive than what you've got going on right now, but it's probably not as expensive as a 60% tariff.
Yeah. No, and that's one of the things
we're looking into.
And I think that's one of the things that I would imagine most sign companies were looking at. And I know that me and the owner and our manufacturing manager looked at, let's say this does happen and all of these things do happen, how are we impacted? And we actually weren't going to be impacted too much. So it's like the LEDs. Yeah, I think everybody's going to see that because it's just such a high percentage is made in China. But if that goes across the board, then everybody's got the same playing field at that point. But the rest of the stuff that we were looking into, it just didn't seem like it should, really impact us to the extent it could impact others. If we're only getting 15 to 20% of our stuff from China and others are getting 80 to 85%, it's going to hit them a lot harder.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Definitely something that if you're in the sign industry, really any industry, tariffs are going to impact you if they go forward as has been discussed by the current administration.
Yeah, absolutely.
So in our last segment, we touched on tariffs, but we want to touch on taxes too, because these things go hand in hand. In 2017, during President Trump's first stint in office, Congress passed the Tax Cut and Jobs Act of 2017. And so the goal of this was to reduce tax burdens on Americans, right? And then this frees up the finances of businesses to be able to invest more. In this case, right, we want to talk about businesses being able to invest in their brand and really invest in their signage. But to touch more specifically on the Tax Cut and Jobs Act, it's called the TCJA. And this legislation, it lowered the corporate tax rate from 35% to 21%, which is it's a sizable cut. And so what people are talking about quite a bit right now is that there are quite a number of provisions in the TCJA that do expire at the end of 2025. The corporate tax rate is not one of them. The corporate tax rate is supposed to stay the same, but Congress is planning to open the conversation again about our tax code and specifically the provisions in that piece of legislation that do expire at the end of this year. But an open conversation is an open conversation. It could change.
Yeah. And I think that's the big thing to remember is that even though they aren't set to expire, doesn't mean that they can't change, right? If you're looking at one part of the Jobs Act, I'm sure they're going to look at absolutely everything. Ideally, it'd be better if we kept it at the 21%, just because then our business is all around companies, right? Every sign industry, the more money that businesses have to spend on anything is going to be better, because then we can convince them that they should spend it on their signage to get more people coming to their business and look better and have higher quality. It's one of those where it could have a definite impact on the sign industry if it does end up getting raised back up to that 35%.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be, we were talking before we started the podcast today just about how interesting the next couple of years are going to be, just in observing what happens in all these different spheres.
Right.
The last thing that we want to talk about today is how the current administration and just the larger conversation is around trade and vocational schooling. So obviously this is something that you're seeing more and more people pushing for, whether they're politicians or even parents or people, guidance counselors in schools, right? More people are talking about the value of vocational and trade schools. In 2018, President Trump signed the Strengthening Career and Technical Education for the 21st Century Act. Wow, they really know how to pack those words in. They get paid by the letter, I'm sure.
Right.
So So in 2018, President Trump signed that into law, and this reauthorized the Carl D. Perkins Career and Technical Education Act. This was bipartisan legislation, and the idea was to improve career and technical education to help Americans build the skills needed for jobs that are really in demand right now, which are trade jobs.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But I think a big thing that in the sign industry is people don't think about it, but it is like a craft. It's like a special trade that it's really hard to get unless you're just churning out generic letters over and over. But if you look at all the signage, every font is different. Every sign is different. They're a little bit bigger. They're a little bit smaller. You can't just cookie cutter letters out for absolutely everything. The welders that we have, it's very specific, and all the different crafting of the channel letters and how you put it together. And there's so much that goes into it that it's really a skill and a craft that goes into it. And a lot of sign companies are really running into, and we're not immune from it either. You have people that have been doing it for 20, 30, 40 years, in some cases, and they want somebody to pass down their knowledge to. And sometimes it's hard to find those people that are wanting to do a trade job like that. So it's definitely helpful. Anything we can do to try and help promote the trades, I think, is across the board something that we should always be doing.
I could not agree more. And actually, before Christmas, I was at a career and job fair representing an organization that North American Signs is involved with. And I got to meet some of the young people who are going into the trade industries, and they were so cool to talk to. Just very kind, very intelligent people who were excited about their careers and looking forward to really building a better life. They understood the value of that education.
Right.
A lot of them that I spoke with were in it to help their families and just, they really understood the value of the work that they were getting into. So it was really neat. So a couple of weeks ago, I listened to an interview with a guy named William Hertling. And William Hertling is a former HP programmer. He's also an AI fiction author. So he wrote the book, if anyone is familiar with it, called AI Apocalypse. He wrote it in 2012. And I have not personally read the book, but what I understand about the content is that a lot of the predictions that he wrote about in that book are playing out right now, which is a little bit unnerving, but part of what he talks about in the book.
Yeah, it's what we were just saying. Like some of the fiction that was talked about in the past might be foreshadowing. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So relative to this conversation about trade jobs, though, a lot of people are concerned about the robots are going to take my job, right? People are very concerned about how AI is going to impact job availability for not just Americans, but people all over the world. And so he predicts in this book that the last jobs that are going to be made obsolete by AI include a lot of these skilled trade jobs, right? So plumbers, firefighters, construction workers, folks who work in healthcare, maybe not even necessarily doctors, but like nurses, medical assistants, PAs, stuff like that. So these skilled trade jobs are really going to have a lot of sustained stability despite what we're concerned about happening with AI. So if job security is important to you, maybe the trades are, a good path to look into. It's certainly worth it for sign companies and other businesses that require skilled trade workers to promote.
I think the big thing in why AI would probably be the last group, because it's all skilled, right? It's not the assembly line where it's just, oh, you're putting this screw in the same spot every single time. You know, AI is very easy to take those over. But when you've got, I'm just thinking we're having our kitchen remodeled, and if the sink is just a fraction of an inch off to the left, it's not a standard procedure, right? Now the plumber has to move pipes and do things a slightly different way. The sink will have to sit in a different way. The faucets. So it's like all these things are interconnected, and it's one of those things that you get with experience. And how does, now not saying AI can't figure that stuff out, but it's what they're going to, it's going to have to learn with experience over time of doing those repetitive things, not repetitive, sorry. It is a repetitive thing, but it's not all the same situation, right? There's different situations where you have to use a different pipe here and a different pipe there. And then if this is leaking and troubleshooting, I think is probably the biggest thing where, yeah, a surgery can be performed, but then all of a sudden this starts bleeding and you don't know what to do. I don't want a robot, you know, just trying to figure it out. I'd rather have the human there to look at it, use their skill to say, yes, I've seen this before. It happens sometimes. Here, I got to fix it.
And, you know, there is certainly a number of diagnostic applications for AI, even if you're thinking about diagnosing a problem with your car or in the medical field, you can use AI to evaluate people's symptoms, people's medical histories to help figure out what's going on with them or what's going on with the vehicle. But as far as actually doing the work of, you don't, at least if it were me, I don't know that I would want an AI machine doing open heart surgery on me.
Right.
Or, right? Like, I want a person to do that. Yeah. And so even if there's diagnostic applications, right? Even if the AI could tell you, hey, the pipe is a half inch off.
Correct.
You still need someone to actually do, actually confirm that and then do the work, right? So these skilled trade jobs are going to have a ton of stability as we move into the future. Not to mention they're pretty well paying jobs in a lot of, in a lot of arenas. And I think that's definitely a part of the skilled trades that people overlook quite a bit, is that you can make some pretty good money. Even like when we, here at my house, when we have to have plumbing work done or any, like anything, it's usually like a couple day wait because there's so much demand for that kind of work and fewer people have the skills to address those issues at home. Right. Like, well, if there's a plumbing issue, I will not be the one to fix that.
Right. Exactly. Well, and that's the, I think what we've seen in the past is all of a sudden everybody's going into skilled trades. Then nobody's going into higher education, which skilled trades is higher education. It's just not book education, I guess, is the best way to put it. What we, it'd be ideal if maybe we could utilize AI to figure out what's that right balance of where we're going to be losing, because the sign industry, I mean, installers, everything is a skilled trade because everything is, it's not cookie cutter, the same thing every single time. And you have to know how to act in different situations when you're mounting channel letters up on the wall and all of a sudden there was a beam that was supposed to be behind here and now it's not there. And how do you mount to this? And what do you do in this situation? And now you got to troubleshoot and make it happen.
Yeah, absolutely. In the sign industry, right, we've got the guys that manufacture our signs. We've got folks who are electricians who help us with installation, right? You all kinds of different trades pour into the sign industry and pour into a lot of different industries. So just encourage, I just want to encourage sign companies, be active in your communities, help promote trade jobs, vocational schools in your communities. I think that's a thing that is often overlooked. There are probably more trade schools or trade opportunities in your area than you think there are. Yeah, just want to encourage people, be on the lookout for those. See how you can partner with those schools to help them provide quality education experiences for their students, help them get prepared for the next phase of life. Can your company provide apprenticeships for some of these students? Different things like that are really important to look into.
Right. No, absolutely. I agree. So we hope that this information helps all of our friends in the sign industry effectively navigate the potential economic and governing changes during the first part of the current administration. If there's anything else that we can help you with, we'd love to.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, y'all, for joining us today. You can sign up for our monthly InnoSign newsletter at the link in the description below. That newsletter just provides more educational resources like what you get here on the podcast. You can also apply to be a guest on the show at the link in the description on our podcast website. And like Jonathan said, let us know if there are other ways, other things that you want us to talk about related to this topic or other ways that you see the current administration's policies impacting the sign industry. Drop those notes in the comments. We'd love to hear your thoughts as always. Until next time, keep innovating.